The Shadow Diaries from Studio 71 and Snarled Entertainment.
My hair stood on end. I'd hardly hung up the phone with Virgil 5 seconds earlier, and now someone was outside my room. Who was behind the door? And had they heard the call? My heart raced. The longer I stayed silent, the more it would look like I was hiding something. But who could it be? Was it Priya coming to nag me about ditching her the night before? Christine snooping around to censor my work? Or Marilyn, who seemed to see all and know all? What would I say if she made an accusation about the call?
One sec!
I stood, staring at the door. Took a breath and looked back at the pendant sitting on the nightstand. Damn, better put it on. I clasped the necklace around my neck, went to the door, took a big breath, and opened it to see Marilyn standing over me, her eyes inspecting me, giving away nothing, while I maintained a pleasant smirk, extra poised, playing my role as if all was normal. Finally, Marilyn smiled.
Hey, babe. Just wanted to let you know we're heading out a bit early for the show today. The bus won't be stopping by here after the show, so just have everything packed for Austin.
Oh, yeah, right. Cool. I'll be ready in just a minute.
Good. I'll see you downstairs.
Yep, okay.
Oh, and Shayna, I love your new necklace.
I arrived in the lobby to find only half the team was ready and no Eliza. So much for the rush. As I found an open lobby couch and sunk down into it, I had the feeling Priya had already spotted me. The person who eased down into the open space next to me wasn't Priya. It was Cooper.
Sup, Shayna?
Not much. You?
How's your piece on Eliza going?
Great. Yeah, it's a work in progress, but really profound. In a good way.
Ah, right on, right on. It feels like you really see her, you know?
Yeah, totally. And thank you.
Oh, one sec. Mom's calling me.
Cooper Rose was a much nicer version of his mother, but he'd still inherited that gaze of hers that made you feel like they could see inside of you, right down into your soul. I was on edge, not from his gaze, but because I knew this visit wasn't random. Cooper wanted something from me. The only question was what?
Sorry about that.
No worries.
So, listen, you've been so cool to Eliza these last few days, and I wanted you to know she really appreciates it. We all do. Almost feels like your family.
Oh, well, I really love her. Like a sister.
Anyways, we've got an extra night on the books between today's show and the one in Austin. And my mom has this beautiful place up in Sedona. In fact, the word beauty doesn't even do it justice. It's just one of those, you gotta see it to believe it's, you know? And we were thinking of going up for a little overnight retreat, just the three of us. But we were talking, and we'd love to have you join us.
Well, shit. Yeah. Yes, definitely. I would love to do that.
Sweet. Come find us after the show.
A private getaway with Eliza and her extended family in the desert? My mind raced, and whatever fears I'd had around the events of the last 48 hours, the 12-year-old fangirl inside of me took over and jumped at the opportunity. But as Cooper stood to go, the old phrase, "Be careful what you wish for," popped in from my subconscious. But then I asked myself, why? Why was I so afraid? This was going to be the best trip of my life.
Thank you, Phoenix.
The afternoon show had gone off without a hitch, with the exception of a few zealous fans acting out the hashtag urge viral challenge. A few ambulances came and went, but the minor injuries felt like child's play compared to the incidents of the last week. Shit. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Shayna. How's my Eliza Gold spread coming along?
The truth was, not great. I had the short and contrived one-on-one, some barely legible notes from performances, and my dead-on-arrival treatment. I hadn't even seen Eliza yesterday, and everything from her manic episode the day before had to stay off the record. So I bluffed like I had with Cooper and said,
"It's going great."
"Cool. When can I see a treatment?"
By end of day?
"Today?"
"Tomorrow? End of day?"
"Fine, but it better be good, because apparently Rolling Stone realized Eliza's relevant again, and now they want to try and beat us to the punch."
"It is gonna kick ass, I promise." As I ended the call, I found Cooper waiting for me at the backstage exit, the wide brim of his hat shading his face from the hot Arizona sun like a true urban cowboy.
"Hey, Shannon Bear. You ready to roll?"
"Yeah, ready to rock." My bags were already in hand as I beamed, my life a waking dream of awesomeness. I followed Cooper to a big black SUV, the same kind I had ridden in with them to the after party at Freddy's. The driver took the bags off my hands for me and loaded them into the back of the SUV. I got in the back seat with Cooper, who sat in the middle, and Eliza, who sat to his right. Marilyn occupied the front passenger seat, lowering her shades as she glanced back at me.
"Glad you could join us, hon."
"Thank you so much for the invite." I smiled at all three of them, but only Cooper and Marilyn looked back. Eliza, who sat on the other side of Cooper, seemed off in her own world.
"Ever been to Sedona? It is a very special place. When I first came out with Cooper's father, Mickey, in the early 80s, I fell head over heels. It was life-changing. It's a vortex, you know, filled with good energy."
"Yeah, I've heard people say that about it."
"It's true. Not to get all earth mama, but the place just has an aura about it. Eliza really felt it out there a few times, right, babe?"
Eliza barely looked up from the window.
"Yeah, totally."
Eliza was either really down, really tired, or both. Whatever it was, it had started to make me a little uncomfortable. We had gone from inseparable a day ago to barely speaking. Maybe she just needed space? Or was this the 0 to 60 and back again that others had described about her friendships? A silence took over as the afternoon sun hung low over the desert horizon, and the thought of Marilyn's deceased husband, Mickey Rose, wouldn't stop running through my mind. The Rose family was rock royalty, and Marilyn its matriarch. A quick Shayna deep dive gave me a more in-depth history of Marilyn's humble beginnings. A hair and makeup artist for some of the 80s biggest glam metal bands. That's how she met Mickey, lead singer of a fledgling metal band that was known more for the acts they opened for than their own music. But in Mickey, Marilyn saw something special. She convinced him to fire his manager and let her take over his career. And then there were the desert retreats, including a 3-day peyote drug trip that was rumored to have inspired Mickey Rose's first hit album, Twin Blades. I landed on a photo of Marilyn and Mickey Rose with baby Cooper after he just played Live Aid. The two looked on top of the world with their son. But tragically, just 3 years later, at the age of 27, Mickey was found dead of an apparent suicide. The world was left in shock. The following year, Marilyn, along with 7-year-old Cooper, would go on a PR tour to manage the fallout from her husband's untimely death. Rumors had swirled that she left him in a Paris hotel room with a gun and a wide array of narcotics, even as he was battling serious addiction-related illnesses. Even worse, some people believed he wasn't capable of committing suicide himself based on what they found in his system in the toxicology report. They believed there was foul play, that Marilyn was done dealing with Mickey's addiction issues, and that he was worth more to her dead than alive. And strangely, in a last-minute adjustment to their will, she was given control of all of his recordings, even his masters, in the event of his death. And in the years since her husband's death, Marilyn churned out some hugely successful artists and gained her reputation for exuding uncompromising, domineering control along the way. We passed a highway sign alerting us that we had just entered Sedona. And as I looked out the window over the red desert horizon, I felt like I might be seeing a mirage. A lone guitarist stood out in front of a dirt road. And as we came closer, I could make out who it was. Mickey Rose. The statue version, that is. He was frozen, his long hair swept back, strumming a chord on his rhythm guitar, on a pedestal above a cluster of agaves.
Here we are, kiddos.
The dirt road took us past a metal gate towards a sleek, low-lying desert compound, the only man-made structure in sight for at least a mile. Depending on your mood, this type of off-the-grid location would either induce calming bliss or the utter panic of total isolation. I couldn't decide which side of the fence I was on yet, but I hoped I could loosen up a little once we arrived. Eliza coming back to life at some point would really help.
Oh my god, how fresh is that air, babe? So good for our lungs.
Leo will take your bags for you, and I'll show you to your room.
Thank you.
This is the Odin Suite. I trust it will suffice.
Every square inch of the suite was tastefully adorned with bird feathers, antelope hide rugs, and dream catchers of mystical intention. The Odin Suite was nothing less than stunning. It would definitely suffice. It's wonderful. Thank you. As I turned back to face Marilyn, I saw she had already left the doorway, but was still within earshot as she barked passive-aggressive orders at her staff.
The pillows go like this, on their corners. You see? Now don't let me see them flat like that again.
I looked down the hallway to see Marilyn lecturing a housekeeper who stood, head down, nodding. I felt bad for her. Being in Marilyn's good graces, I'd forgotten how scary she could be. As the two walked off, I noticed the two chairs where the pillows had been rotated. In the center of the pillows, those evil eyes were stitched on. Marilyn really loved a theme. Now that they were aligned, the pupils seemed to stare at me. Freaked the fuck out, I stepped back into the room and swore I heard something. Chills ran across my arms as I had this feeling. I wasn't alone. I looked out the window to see Cooper and Eliza in another guest room. Things seemed tense between them. They were definitely having words. I wondered what the argument could possibly be about when she suddenly turned my way and locked eyes. Shit. Suddenly, I heard a new noise. I looked behind the curtains. Only dust particles floating in the sunlight. Then, I heard it again. This time, under the bed. I moved over to the side of the mattress, slowly, bent down, and braced to pull back the comforter that ran along the side of the bed frame. I counted down. 1, 2, 3! And pulled it up as a black cat shot out. Jesus! Oh, my heart pounded as it slithered through a cracked open window and scampered off, out into the desert backyard. The cat was yet another doppelganger for Gypsy, and somehow, I concluded, this cat, or its ghost, would never stop following Eliza. As the setting sun hung half-eclipsed by a brontosaurus-shaped rock formation, I joined Cooper, Eliza, and Marilyn at the pool. It was still insanely hot out, and the temperature of the water felt amazing. Cooper swam around Eliza, trying to provide some sort of entertainment as she remained distant and unapproachable.
Eliza, are you feeling okay?
She is better than okay. She is clearly feeling the desert glow. We all are, right?
Marilyn emerged from a dive in an impressively long-range underwater swim, tying her hair back. That's when I noticed a tattoo on her upper back shoulder. Oh, duh. It was in the same shape of the pendant I was currently wearing around my neck. The evil eye. I made sure not to linger on it, though I was thoroughly weirded out. What was the obsession with this symbol from Marilyn and her inner circle?
So, Shayna, what do you think of Casa del Rose?
Oh, it's incredible. You have a beautiful home here, and an even more beautiful setting.
Getting this place was the best decision Mom and Dad ever made. The times I had here as a kid, away from the city, saved my life. I swear to you.
I believe it.
Shayna.
Yeah?
We've asked an awful lot of you these last 2 weeks. I think it's time for us to ask what we can do for you. Did you know the only limitations of what's possible are the limits we place on ourselves? The minute you are brave enough to put an idea out there, that's when it can begin to manifest.
Jesus, Mom, stop with the divinity quotes.
Divinity?
It's our thing. It's our belief. Positive witchcraft, or whatever you want to label it. It's gotten me this far. The divinity allows for no dreams out of your reach. I promise you. Stick with us. We got you. Whatever you want, we can help make it happen for you.
Now I knew. The divinity. I should have guessed it wasn't a secret society. It was a spiritual system. And it didn't surprise me in the least that artists and entertainers would be into this new agey kind of religion. It just felt too good to be true. Like receiving career advice from the devil. I changed clothes and made my way down the side hall of the house where I thought the kitchen and dining area would be. But the place was massive and not well lit, and I got really lost. I went down another long hallway, then another, before I finally spotted another human being standing at the end of the hall, silhouetted by the light of the moon.
Hey, Eliza, is that you?
But there was no answer. So I went up behind her, her face turned away from me, looking out at the desert night. I reached for her shoulder.
Eliza?
Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Nice haircut.
I had mites, Shayna. I had to shave it all off. But glad you like it.
Oh. No, that sucks. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
It's fine! It You really shouldn't have come here.
I thought you wanted me here. As a friend or else,
You thought wrong. I don't want you here at all.
Her eyes tearing up, Eliza brushed past me on a brisk walk up the hall. Ouch. I wasn't expecting that. Did she think I was just here to use her and the connections of her manager and boyfriend just to further my career ambitions? I suddenly felt super guilty about accepting the invite. But at the same time, how could I have known she'd react this way? I had wanted to go on this trip to spend time with her, and now it all seemed ruined. I felt bummed and out of place as I found my way to the dining room. The staff was placing each course of the meal on the table as carefully as I had as an intern serving lunch to the executives at today's beat. It was surreal being on the receiving end of all of this when I was in their exact shoes merely weeks ago.
Wine, sweetie?
Definitely.
So, Shayna, I hope you're enjoying your time with us.
Oh, I really, really am. And thank you again for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being open to us, to seeing us as people first, aside from all the music biz and the silly gossip.
I was surprised about how frank she was. Marilyn really let down her dragon lady persona and tried to let me in.
I mean, it's rare that we find someone so real as you.
Ah, well spoken, Mom. Couldn't have put it better myself.
A toast. To your company, Shayna.
Thanks. Right back at you. You guys truly are amazing hosts.
We try.
There's something else that we'd like to share with you.
Sure. What's that?
There's this secret.
She always says it like that. It's not a secret, Mom.
Okay, fine. It's more of a theory. Rooted in science, of course. That I like to think of as a healing practice.
It healed Eliza. Watched it happen right before my eyes. She transcended her ego and became full of raw creativity. She was reborn.
Reborn? I couldn't help but make the connection to the title of Eliza's first single on the new album. It clearly held more meaning than she'd let on in the interview. And this whole conversation started to feel less and less like a casual dinner and more like a recruitment. I grew uneasy, and as I turned to Eliza, I could see she was getting increasingly uncomfortable as well. Her face had turned a shade paler, and she'd started scratching her left arm, her right hand on autopilot, nails digging away manically as she pierced the skin, and a deep red blood droplet began running down her arm.
And then I got majorly freaked out again.
Now, we don't share this divine practice with just anyone. We only share it with the ones we see true potential in. People we believe are smart enough to understand the work. Only people who operate on a higher vibration ever really get it anyway, and they're the ones destined for greatness. We see that in you, Shayna. Would you be open to accepting the gift of this practice from us this evening? We know what you're looking for. How to make you whole. If you'll stay seated for a moment, we'll prepare the other room.
I sat alone at the table, contemplating what accepting the gift of this practice would actually mean. What would they expect of me? Was I losing my grip? Was that a warning from Eliza earlier? Was this why she didn't want me here? I downed the rest of my wine, my heart rate picking up the pace.
They're ready for you.
Oh, shit. What have you gotten yourself into, Shayna? My nerves were all over the place as a staff member opened a door to Marilyn, waiting there for me.
Okay, sweetie. Follow me.
I stood and followed Marilyn to the darkened living room, which had been converted to an altar of sorts. A wooden carving of the half-moon, double-circle evil eye totem was hung against the wall, ensconced by dozens of candles. Cooper and Eliza sat together on the rug as Marilyn took the room center, the shadow of the candlelight dancing on her face. She held a golden ceremonial staff. On its tip, a figurehead was carved in. Perhaps their deity? There was something oddly familiar about its sunken eyes and mouth. Where had I seen it before? I almost gave up trying to place it when it clicked. The Shadow Man. I saw Marilyn was staring at me, and I returned my focus to her.
Please, be seated. Now take a few soft breaths. Good. On this night, we ask that you open your channels to the other side to receive this divine gift. We'll begin with a little song. Eyes closed, repeat after me. The moon shines down upon you. The owl sings his little song. As nighttime we embrace, with darkness we replace the light in us that we knew was wrong. Okay, come on, baby. Let your voice out.
I faked it for a moment, just not to raise any red flags. But the song made me feel queasy, and I could feel a strange, radiating warmth coming from my chest. Before I realized it was the charm, it was like the song was speaking to it. My queasy feeling was almost psychedelic now. Was this step two of some progression? I opened one eye to see if Eliza was still singing, because I hadn't heard her voice. One quick peek revealed that she had left her spot on the rug. As the song finished and we opened our eyes, Marilyn immediately noticed Eliza's absence.
Where's Eliza?
Babe?
That's okay. We'll find her. Music must have moved her out of the room. But we should find her. Can't let her get in any trouble again. Cooper, honey, go check the bedroom. I'll take the halls. Shayna, will you take a look outside for us?
Of course. And then it was over. My mind was freed, but my body was still reeling from whatever woo-woo shit was happening in there. Pretty sure this part wasn't making it into my piece for today's beat.
Eliza!
The desert wind ran right through my blazer and gave me a shiver. I looked out across the bleak darkness of the desert, seeing nothing, while the planetarium of stars, planets, and constellations above took my eyes upward. Here I was, riding atop a giant rock, no different than any one of the other billions of worlds out there. And then there was the moon. Full. A near-perfect circle. Was this timing a part of their plan for the ritual?
Shit.
All right, those coyotes are close. I scanned the grounds for Eliza once more and headed back inside, assuming she had left the ceremony for the same reason I had, and had probably taken refuge in her bedroom. Back in my guest room, I immediately took off the charm necklace, and the nausea I'd been feeling since the ceremony began wore off. So fucking weird. I stared at the pendant in disbelief. What was I supposed to make of it all? That somehow this charm and these people had some ability to use energy to affect others? Impossible, my rational side chimed in. But my gut wasn't so sure. Was I really approaching the unknown? The unexplainable? And if so, how far into it should I really go? I checked my phone. The text was from Eliza.
Can I trust you?
I texted back. Yes.
Head to the tree line by the spring.
Now?
Yes. But don't let them see you. You can't let anyone know you're doing this.
Okay. I'll be low-key. Heading your way now.
Be careful, Shayna.
Careful? What was Eliza so worried about? If something was up, I wish she'd just explain. Instead, heart racing and no idea what I was getting into, I opened the door to my room and snuck back down the hallway to a back door exit I'd noticed on the way to dinner. Checking to make sure no one had seen me, I eased open the door and slipped out into the darkness of the desert night. I brought my hoodie this time, but it was still no match for the ceaseless wind sweeping over me. I could just make out the tree line against the starry sky, and I treaded carefully as I headed toward it. The rocks underneath my feet were loose, and the incline below was steep. I made it to the trees and heard the running water of the spring. I didn't see Eliza at first. The way she sat there, balled up, arms around her knees. It wasn't until I spotted her shadow that I could separate her from the surrounding rock formations. Eliza?
Are you alone? Are you sure they didn't follow you?
Yes, I'm sure. Eliza, are you okay? We should get back to the house, don't you think? Did you take your meds?
No! I don't need my medicine. That's what they use to keep me silent, to mask everything they're doing. Shayna, you have no idea what they're planning.
Eliza, what are you saying?
That's why I didn't want you to come, okay? Marilyn, you can't trust a word she says. And her idea of healing, it's not what you think it is.
I don't understand. What were they planning to do?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I will, Eliza. You have to tell me what's going on, please. I want to help you, but I need to know what we're dealing with here. Eliza sat staring off for a long moment. Then she turned and looked into my eyes as she formed a decision.
Okay. I'll tell you.
But you have to swear that you won't tell anyone.
The secret's safe. I swear.
When I met Cooper, I was totally washed. My life as a musician, as in anything, was over. Fucking cautionary tale. Burned too bright too fast. My inspiration was dead. I hadn't sung for 2 years. My label dumped me. It was over. But Cooper was so nice. He didn't judge what happened to me. He thought I was just at the beginning of my career. We wrote together, we lived together. We really liked each other. But then, after a few months, Cooper introduced me to Marilyn. And Marilyn, she saw more than a cool new girlfriend for her son. She saw a new disciple. She told me about this secret group. Tons of artists, actors, even world-famous scientists had joined to reinvent themselves, to find their true voice. Sounds exciting. Marilyn said lots of her clients were part of this group and helped them get to the next level. And I thought, shit, what do I have to lose? I'm a 22-year-old shacking up with a trust fund baby in Malibu. So I went. I did everything they said. I wrote music in ways that, like, it wasn't even me. No, something inside of me had taken over. It was beyond inspiration. It was like I was possessed. At first, it was electric. all this music pouring out of me, recording and singing and then uploading new music, and everyone who turned their back on me suddenly wanted to listen and take me seriously. And it was all because of Marilyn, because of this place and these people she showed me. But then it didn't stop. The inspiration in my mind, it became more. I was either putting out music, its music, or it was tearing me apart. The divine magic, as Marilyn calls it. I was its slave, and it was eating away at my soul. What Marilyn and her people brought me into, it's not therapy or enlightenment. It's pure evil. The more I give in, the more it takes over. The more innocent people, it hurts. But anytime I try to fight it, I don't sing what they want or say what they think I should say. I get sick. I can't sleep. I hear noises, clawing, thumping, howling. Well, the meds don't work because it's not in my head. They use those things to shut me up, so I just act like a good soldier because I'm fucking terrified of what will happen to me if I don't. I can't do it anymore. I don't know how to get out. But I was thinking maybe you could help.
My head was about to explode, processing everything from Eliza's info dump. Where did fiction end and the truth begin? Was this an act? Was she using me to get away from a manipulative executive? Her weirdo doctor? Her clingy boyfriend? For now, all I could do was give her a hug.
Listen to me, Eliza. Whatever's going on, we're gonna fix it, okay?
She nodded weakly, and I sat there holding her, wondering if what she had said could possibly be real. And if she was really in trouble, why did she choose me? Why was I the one tasked with saving her from being consumed by these supposedly dark forces? My mind searched again for a better explanation when it occurred to me. I still had no way to explain Eliza's massive comeback in the first place. I thought back on Marilyn and all the controversy that surrounded the death of her husband. Eliza's new music, the Urge viral videos, and the chaos breaking out at her shows. Trevor, the necklace. All pieces of a puzzle unbelievably piecing together into a horror story starring me. As she laid in my arms shaking, I knew I had to do something. To operate, at least for now, as if what she had told me was 100% real. I thought of everything I could do to help her, and all I came up with was Virgil.
The Shadow Diaries, directed by K. Asher Levin, written by K. Asher Levin and Zach Imbrogno. Episodes 2, 5, 8, and 9, co-written by Matt Worley. Produced by Gail Gilman and K. Asher Levin. Edited by Fitz Harris. Executive producers, Michael Schreiber, Dave DeVries, Stephen Perlstein, and Gail Gilman. Starring Madeline Petch as Eliza Gold and Kara Hayward as Shayna Secco. Featuring Constance Zimmer as Marilyn Rose, K. Asher Levin as Chuck, Markia McCarty as Priya, Clint Howard as Dr. Summers, Lydia Hurst as Christine, Davi Santos as Trevor, Carter Jenkins as Cooper Rose, Gerald Webb as Virgil, co-produced by Andrew Seeley, Josh Falcon, audio engineer, Annalise Nelson, associate producer, music provided by Gramoscope, mixing by Peter Lipinski, podcast cover art by Dak Schaefer, script supervisor Rebecca Samini. Additional featured voices by Zach Imbrogno, Sarah Lukasiewicz, Danny Gonzalez, Patrick Hambrick, Danielle Hootmer, Lauren Stevenson, Marina Ashfar, Zach Justice, Brighton Charbino, Saxon Charbino, Jimena Medina, David Warwick, Max Sternbaum, Jack Donnelly, Zeke Thomas, Dustin Moat, Brady Morphy, Sarah Sinsel, Dylan Swimmer, Ella Swimmer, Kira Lukasiewicz, and B. Busta.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.